The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Janet won't be joining us today. She'll be back with us tomorrow. And I want to start off with a little story. It's a true story. This is about someone that had the typical signs of a heart attack and went to the hospital. The typical signs, you know, a little chest discomfort, maybe radiating down the arm, a little maybe nausea, some sweats, and that's the right thing to do, is to go to the hospital and let them figure out what's going on. So after he gets to the hospital, they do all their tests. Well, first of all, they established that he had a heart attack, and then they go ahead and do all the tests to determine the location of the heart attack. So that would be a cardiac catheterization. The reason they want to do that, to see if it's appropriate to intervene. Intervention would normally be the placement of a stent or bypass surgery, depending upon the severity of the problem. And after, you know, the workup, they determined that he didn't meet the criteria for any intervention, because I think the greatest blockage they saw was 50%. So his hospital stay wasn't that long, and when they sent him home, they said, well, we'll just have to keep an eye on things. No mention of why he had a heart attack, what he could do to prevent a future heart attack. I don't know if they put him on medication or not. That would be their approach. But this is their approach to everything, is when you get sick, we'll treat you, but we're not going to offer you any advice as to ways of preventing illness. And that's what this program is about, to fill in that gap, because there is a big gap of allowing people to get sick, and then everybody rushes in to treat them, but nobody's doing anything to prevent that. But in all fairness, doctors feel that's not their job. Their job is to treat you when they get sick. So if it's not the doctor's job, then whose job is it? Well, it's your body, and it's your responsibility, because no one else is going to do it for you. So where do you start if you want to stay healthy? And I think that's a complicated question. If you want to stay healthy, where do you start? Well, you have to understand what undermines our health. I think the obvious things, and even the doctors will tell you this, don't smoke. They'll say that. Regular exercise, that's important. But beyond that, they really don't get into much more. They say just eat a healthy diet, but they don't describe what a healthy diet is. So in order to know what it takes to stay healthy, I think then the obvious things are eating a healthy diet, but we don't know what a healthy diet is, because what we think is healthy in many cases may not be healthy. So when you start going around in circles figuring out what you need to do, I think you eventually wind up with testing to see if you're doing a good job. You need the feedback to know if you're treating your body properly. Well, the first way you can get feedback, I mean, there's many superficial ways to get a little feedback. You could step on a scale. You know, if you're overweight, that's the first and easiest way to tell that there's room for improvement. You could check your blood pressure. That's another easy way to tell. Now, when whether if you're overweight or your blood pressure is high, that's not the signal that it's time to take drugs. That's the signal to look at what you've done to cause the high blood pressure or being overweight. Unfortunately, medicine doesn't look at it that way. They look at it as an excuse to prescribe drugs. The next step is you could do testing. Now, mainstream medicine doesn't do much testing. Their testing really revolves around determining whether you're sick enough to get in the hospital or not. If you're not sick enough to be in a hospital, in their opinion, you're pretty much healthy. But they will test a few things to see if they can prescribe more drugs for you. For example, they'll check your cholesterol level. Because if it's elevated, they're going to prescribe a statin drug. If it's if your blood sugar is elevated, they're going to prescribe a drug to help you lower the blood sugar. Now, both of those conditions, by the way, can be corrected by addressing the underlying cause, which is diet. So interestingly now, we talked about being overweight, having high blood pressure, having high blood sugar, having high cholesterol, all related to diet. But they never talk about that. They just want to prescribe a drug for each of those conditions. And they may look at besides lipids, they'll look at your thyroid level. But here again, they missed an opportunity to really help people because the parameters of the thyroid test are so broad that many people fall within the range that the labs give, even though they would be candidates to take thyroid replacement. Now, how does a doctor know if a patient needs thyroid replacement if their blood tests are normal? Well, that requires talking to the patient and questioning them as to how their body is functioning and kind of what are the symptoms they have. And by the way, underactive thyroid is associated with elevations in cholesterol. It may be associated with weight gain. So you can see how your normal physiology can be restored through natural approaches instead of taking drugs. Now, a recent report came out about an important nutrient. 6 billion people worldwide, and 75 to 90% of Americans are deficient in vitamin E. So I'm thinking that sounds like almost the entire worldwide population. And of course, that may be so because even if people are taking supplements for vitamin E, they're probably not taking the right supplement. And I say that because when we read the studies that have done to evaluate whether vitamin E worked to prevent this or worked to cure that, because that's always what they're trying to just, you know, prove something that people that recommend vitamin E say, they don't use the right vitamin E themselves. They're using a D-alpha tocopherol. And if you're lucky, they're using a D-alpha tocopherol. They're probably using a DL-alpha tocopherol, purely synthetic, and missing all of the important components of a total vitamin E supplement. So what are some of the symptoms of vitamin C deficiency? Well, you might have muscle weakness and unsteady gait. Let me just back up a little bit too. You've heard the saying, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Well, that's how you have to think of your bodies. The body is a chain, and if one thing is deficient, it's going to affect the function of the rest of the body. So with deficient levels of vitamin E, you're going to have loss of muscle mass. You're susceptible to cardiac arrhythmias. You may also have vision problems. Again, more susceptible to dementia and liver and kidney problems. Vitamin E works both as an antioxidant and as an anti-inflammatory. And it's an essential vitamin. You know, the body does not make these vitamins. And the next problem is, again, with all these reports about how much you should take, they're usually recommending dosages that are far too low. And again, you supplement with a natural vitamin E, not a synthetic one. So how do you know you're taking enough? All right, so now you go to the store, you buy some vitamin E, and you start taking it. How do you know you have the right dose? How do you know the product you're taking is being absorbed by your body? Well, that's where, again, you have to do testing. So, you know, vitamin E, you know, comes up naturally. Of course, you could get it in foods, but a lot of times people, again, aren't eating the right foods. The right foods would be foods that aren't processed. One of the... Oh, by the way, when I talked about earlier about high blood pressure, high cholesterol, being overweight, and I said that all can be corrected with diet, that collection of symptoms is called metabolic syndrome. And here's another example of a nutrient that helps your body maintain, you know, normal levels. For example, obese people with metabolic syndrome are at increased risk of vitamin E deficiency, in part because they need more of the vitamin to begin with, and in part because their condition impairs their body's utilization of vitamin E. So here again, the dosage that people require are individual. It's not a one-size-fits-all. This is a very important point. So if you have any of these symptoms, abdominal fat, high blood pressure, low HDL cholesterol, high blood sugar, and elevated triglycerides, that's metabolic syndrome. And taking vitamin E may help your body either prevent it or get it under better control. Now, I just want to go back with those conditions. So think about it. They have a drug for every one of those. A high blood pressure, they have a drug. Well, low HDL cholesterol usually is associated with a high total cholesterol. They have a drug for that. They have a drug for high blood sugar. They have a drug for elevated triglycerides. So you can see where mainstream medicine is coming from. They're coming from the point of view that... every problem people have is a drug deficiency, and that's how they're going to solve it. So I want to clear up a little misunderstanding about vitamin E, but we'll have to do that when we come back from this break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Janet will be joining us tomorrow, and we'll be back right after this.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill, and you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center, staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Janet Cimarelli is the licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at janetcimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Janet will be back with us tomorrow. We've been talking about an important nutrient, vitamin E. And the full name, really, for vitamin E is actually a combination of tocopherols and tocotrienols. And think about it. Each of them has several components, alpha, beta, gamma, and delta. So you have the alpha, beta, gamma, and delta tocotrienols and the alpha, beta, gamma, and delta tocopherols. So that would be the full spectrum of vitamin E. So if you're just taking the common one, the D-alpha tocopherol, you're missing out on seven others, which is not a good thing. But before you want to take a supplement, I'm sure a lot of people out there rather do everything through diet. It's possible. Great sources of vitamin E include leafy greens, high-fat foods such as nuts, seeds, and fatty fish, including shrimp and sardines. And then you have the high-fat plants such as olives and avocados, also good sources of vitamin E. And I'm thinking that in those three groups I just mentioned, you should be having those almost on a daily basis. There are some other foods that are good sources of vitamin E, including wheat germ oil, sunflower seeds, almonds, sunflower oil, and hazelnuts. And I hope you're trying to add more of these foods into your diet, especially because you're going to try and cut back as much as you can on carbohydrates and sugar. A couple other foods, avocado, broccoli, mango, and spinach. They're good sources. Now, I bring this up because I think it's been pointed over and over again that the standard American diet is deficient in most nutrients. So it's no surprise that we're seeing so much illness in this country. You know, remember the number I gave once, in the prior show about, we spend about $9,000 per person per year in this country for health care, compared to Japan, which spends less than $5,000 per person per year. So we're spending more than twice as much as other industrialized countries because we're not paying attention to what it takes to be healthy. We know what it takes to be sick, and we're doing a good job on that. You know, we're eating all the processed foods and fast foods, not eating much in the way of raw foods where you get your maximum nutrition. And then lastly, you know, you need to pay attention to your health and not take it for granted. And the way you do that is you test your levels to see how you're doing. Because the easiest thing to do is correct these nutrient deficiencies through diet and through supplementation. Another commonly deficient nutrient is vitamin D. Now, the range for vitamin D from the lab is 30 to 100. And most of the studies that talk about the benefits of vitamin D say that you derive those benefits when your vitamin D is at least at 60 or above. And so many people are afraid to push those limits because they think you're going to have some kind of terrible side effect. And when you do the research and see what level the side effects really kick in at, it's not 110 or 120. It may have to go up to almost 1,000 before you're really at risk. However, if you're taking vitamin D, you do want to check for certain things that's been reported in the literature, like high calcium levels. I haven't seen that yet associated with vitamin D, but it's reported. There are other reasons for high calcium levels besides taking vitamin D. So you never want to take some of these nutrients, especially the fat-soluble nutrients, without having your levels checked, because you do not want to overdose. On the other hand, you want to make sure the product you're taking is working and being absorbed. Now, the best source of vitamin D is getting out in the sun. So the literature says, except that I've seen patients coming in with beautiful suntans still having low levels of vitamin D. So you can't take for granted that you're out in the sun every day and you have a nice tan and therefore your vitamin D levels should be good. It may not be. So another reason to have those levels checked. You know, there was a, not that long ago, you know, how they would do the bone density tests. And I tell this to patients all the time. They come in, they said, the doctor said I have osteopenia or osteoporosis. The difference is just in severity, osteoporosis being more severe than, more severe bone loss than osteopenia. And they want to put them on a drug. But they never discuss the diet, they never discuss the vitamin D. You know, one of those drugs, when it first came out, you know, really wasn't doing that well. They decided to add vitamin D to it, so now it really worked good. And my thinking is it would probably work just as good without the drug part, just leave the vitamin D. But you can check your vitamin D levels, and more importantly, you can check how your body is handling your bones. Not with the bone density, because the little secret there is when your doctor tells you you're deficient in, or your bone density is diminished, you're being compared to a 25-year-old. And it's natural to lose bone as we age. And it's impractical to expect someone who's in their 60s or 70s or 50s to have the bone density of a 25-year-old. And nevertheless, that's the comparison they make in order to prescribe a drug. And by the way, the drugs will never increase bone density to a 25-year-old anyway. So the first things you should do, instead of taking a drug, I don't think there's ever a good indication for the drug. By the way, there are serious side effects associated with those drugs, including osteonecrosis of the jawbone, in other words, death of the bone, digestive tract problems, and even spontaneous fractures of your long bones, like the femur in your thigh. But here are the things you need to check. If you're concerned about osteoporosis, the doctor should first tell you, make sure you do regular exercise, weight bearing, check your vitamin D level, obviously, check your hormone levels. If you're a female, obviously progesterone and estrogen. If you're a male, it's testosterone. And there's a urine test that I find much more valuable than a bone density because it gives you a real-time look at what's going on. It's a urine test that measures bone loss. If you've corrected all the components necessary to maintain adequate levels of bone, this test, called enterolepeptide in the urine, will be at the normal range, meaning you're not losing excess bone and you've accomplished your goal. You may still be osteopenic or osteoporotic compared to a 25-year-old, but basically now you've done the best you can as far as preventing further bone loss. But that's not being done because all they want to do is sell drugs. What you need to know is that when that bone density machine first came out about, I don't know, maybe 25 years ago, and those are expensive machines, and the cost of those machines were underwritten by Merck. So more and more doctors could get them and test their patients. And since it was determined that we're going to compare you to a 25-year-old when it comes to bone density, a lot of people were found to be deficient and placed on their drug. And the first drug by Merck at the time was Fosamax. Now, the trouble with drugs in that category is they increase bone density, but bone density doesn't equal bone strength. And I think that's the real issue with that. It's not a natural way of correcting the problem. Obviously, if you're deficient in vitamin D, your hormones are off, you're not exercising. That would be the obvious approach not being done. So there's another test. Unfortunately, it's only Medicare covers it. It seems like the other insurances don't want to pay for it. And unfortunately, the patient's safe. My insurance doesn't cover it. I don't want it. And they do that to their own detriment. And this is exactly what the establishment wants. You think they want to prevent hip fractures, or they want to treat more hip fractures, even though they talk about giving calcium in the form of Tums, for example, and giving a drug that increases bone density but not bone strength. And then we talk about all the hip replacements being done. And this is completely tolerated by people. So it's important information to know, because if you have all the facts in your possession, then you can make the appropriate changes so you don't run into those problems where you have a hip fracture now and you have to have surgery. And by the way, what I tell patients how to prevent hip fractures, think about this for a second. The best way to prevent hip fractures is not to fall. So you have to think about it. Most falls occur in your home because that's where you spend most of your time. Make sure there are no nothing that you can trip on in your home. And don't be afraid, and I tell this to patients because I know they many times don't like to use assistance with walking like a cane. If you have an unsteady gait, might be prone to falling, a cane is preferable to a broken hip. So, you know, these are the kind of problems we see day in and day out. I started off talking about the heart attack, how they don't feel they have anything to offer unless you need surgery. Now with osteoporosis, they don't have much to offer unless you need surgery. You see a pattern here. They're looking for candidates for surgery instead of looking for candidates in which they can restore health to. So, since they've abdicated their responsibility in that regard in trying to keep people healthy, it falls on the shoulders of the individual. They have to become aware of what it takes to stay healthy. And it's not that difficult. But you have to understand what undermines our health in the first place so that you could make the changes that can keep you as healthy as possible. As we get older, you know, these problems obviously become greater and greater. But isn't it interesting to see some people who are in great shape, despite the fact they might be in their 70s or 80s or 90s. And then you see other people in the same age groups, and they can barely walk or confined to a wheelchair or a walker. So I would think you'd want to know what those people are doing. And I can tell you in my experience that most of the time, it all boils down to the way they eat. And whether knowingly or not, you know, they're eating a healthier choice of foods. And we'll get into why that's so important. Because right now, we just take it for granted. We eat whatever's available. So when we come back from the break, that's what we'll talk about. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Janet will be with us again tomorrow, and we'll be back right after this.
Why should I do blood testing? I feel fine. Advanced Medical Testing provides information in advance of symptoms developing. Get the health information you need to stay healthy. Get the information you need to minimize the need for medical treatment. When you know where to focus your efforts, the results can be rewarding. Get healthy. Stay healthy with the information you need from Advanced Medical Testing Center. 754-216-2332, 754-216-2332.
Hi, I'm Janet Cimarelli, and I'm here to tell you about Dr. Herb Slavin, the medical director of the Institute of Advanced Medicine in Lauderhill. The Institute brings the latest natural approaches to health, supported by research. We offer a full range of traditional and holistic treatments. The primary goal of the Institute of Advanced Medicine is to give you, the patient, the information you need to stay healthy and live long. So before you feel sick, before you develop symptoms, come see the team at the Institute of Advanced Medicine. You can call today, 954-748-4991, to learn all about the services offered at the Institute. Services from on-demand to chiropractic, from natural skin solutions to nutrition testing and support. 954-748-4991. You can visit drslavin.com to learn more.
How do you know what testing you should get at Advanced Medical Testing Centers? Advanced Medical Testing Centers offers testing packages at reduced rates so you can test for most common health challenges, hormone imbalances, immune issues, heart problems, blood sugar imbalances, and many others are available at AMT Center. 754-216-2332, 754-216-2332.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Jen will be back with us tomorrow. Just listening to those commercials, and I want to point out that you can use your insurance at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. If you, you know, if you want to have those special panels, insurance covers them. And if your doctor doesn't order the test, we can order it for you. The only people we can't order it for are people with HMOs, because only their doctors can order those tests. So I mentioned earlier, we need to understand disease. Because if you don't understand disease, how are you going to prevent it? And the reason doctors don't look into what I'm going to talk about in a moment is because they don't have a drug for it. And in fact, the headline is, some doctors don't believe in this disease, yet it predisposes to many diseases. And what I'm talking about is mitochondrial dysfunction. Now, the mitochondria are the parts of the cell that create energy. About 90% of the energy in the body is created by the mitochondria. And if you're not making enough energy, then you're predisposing yourself to disease. Now, some of the early signs of mitochondrial dysfunction are fatigue and exhaustion. And that only makes sense if you, the mitochondria, the energy centers, energy production centers in the body aren't working properly. If you lack energy, you're going to be tired and exhausted. But there are other conditions associated with mitochondrial dysfunction, including loss of muscle coordination, muscle weakness, neurological problems, seizures, autism, visual and hearing problems, developmental delays, learning disabilities, heart disease, liver disease, kidney disease, gastrointestinal disorders, diabetes, increased risk of infection, thyroid dysfunction, adrenal dysfunction, autonomic nervous system dysfunction, neuropsychological changes, and last but not least, cancer. So, if, you know, some say that mitochondrial dysfunction is really the basis of most diseases, and therefore it would be important to figure out what you need to do to prevent it. And, you know, one of the interesting tests that can highlight this problem is testing for homocysteine. Now, we talk about homocysteine. I don't know. I think more and more doctors may be testing for it. A lot of doctors may not believe in it. But elevated levels of homocysteine have been associated with an increased risk of stroke and heart attack. Now, so now we back up a little bit and realize that impairment of mitochondrial function might be the cause of atherosclerosis, thromboembolism, blood clots, hypertension, other chronic diseases that people experience when they get older. Neurodegenerative diseases, that means Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, ALS, and of course, cancer. So they found that elevated levels of homocysteine are associated with ischemic heart disease, that's angina, not enough blood getting to the heart. DVTs, deep venous thrombosis, blood clots in your veins in the leg, and stroke. Now you can restore homocysteine levels back to normal with certain B vitamins, folic acid, B12, and trimethylglycine. And if you do that, obviously you're reducing the risk of those problems. Now, here's what's new. So when you talk about elevated homocysteine levels, you think increased risk of stroke and heart attack. But now they're saying elevated levels of homocysteine have also been implicated in the causation of cancers. And the reason for that is homocysteine appears to exert its actions by altering mitochondrial function. So here again, you see mitochondrial function associated with elevated homocysteine levels, but your doctors aren't checking for that because they don't have a drug to correct the problem. Now, probably one of the most feared diseases is cancer. And if you ask your doctor what causes cancer, I don't think he has a good answer. He may say, well, lung cancer, smoking. Oh, but what about breast cancer? What would he say? Or prostate cancer? He might say hormonal imbalances. For the most part, what about GI cancers? You might say, well, certain foods you're eating, they're not right. But there is some thinking now that cancer is a metabolic disease instead of a genetic disease. We used to think, well, people have genes that predispose them to cancer. But maybe what they're predisposed to is mitochondrial dysfunction. So the thinking is, as long as your mitochondria remain healthy and functional, your chances of developing cancer are slim. So if that's the case, then your goal should be to make sure your mitochondria remain as healthy as possible, because that's how you're going to stay as healthy as possible. And one of the ways of accomplishing this is to cut back on carbohydrates. So if you cut back on carbohydrates, why is that? In the metabolism of carbohydrates, you create a lot of free radicals, otherwise known as reactive oxygen species, and this undermines the function of the mitochondria. If you cut back on carbohydrates and replace it with healthy fats in the diet, like we mentioned earlier, avocados, healthy oils, nuts and seeds, in the metabolism of fats, you don't create as many free radicals as you do with carbohydrates, which helps to make your mitochondria healthy or stay healthy. And the other guideline is to keep your fasting blood sugar below 70. Despite the fact that the labs will probably tell you it's okay to go up to 99 fasting. And then the doctor says, well, you don't have diabetes yet. But when your fasting blood sugar gets high enough, we have a whole array of drugs waiting for you. So if you think about health as being a reflection of mitochondrial function, and anything that undermines mitochondrial function is going to lead to disease, from heart disease to cancer and everything in between. And the way to maintain mitochondrial function optimally is to cut back on carbohydrates. I think now you can begin to see a rationale for cutting out or cutting back on your carbs and sugar, I usually recommend checking your fasting insulin level, because you can still have a blood sugar under 70 and have elevated insulin levels. Oh, we can do both. The idea is to get your fasting levels down. And another recommendation is intermittent fasting. I mean, that makes perfect sense when you consider disease in this context. Intermittent fasting means you're eating during an 8-hour window. That gives your body 16 hours without food to restore its baseline functions. In other words, you're giving your body more time to get that blood sugar back to normal, to get the cholesterol back to where it should be. Instead of eating during a longer period of time each day, then your body doesn't have time to restore itself. So I think, you know, these little approaches can be very valuable when it comes to trying to stay healthy. Now, one of the ways they're showing that this is really the correct approach is when they took a cancer cell and they removed the nucleus of the cancer cell, because that's where all the DNA is, and they transplanted that nucleus into the cell of a healthy cell. And you didn't see the progression of cancer. There was no cancer. And that sort of makes a point that you can't spread cancer. It has to do with the health of the cell. Now, what would have happened if we took the nucleus of a healthy cell and put it into the cancer cell? The cancer disappeared. So I think this is a whole new way of looking at cancer. And by the way, if the beginning of cancer is with mitochondrial dysfunction, how much sense does it make? Well, let me back up here. That means that the presence of cancer cells is really a symptom of mitochondrial dysfunction. Correct the mitochondrial dysfunction and the cancer goes away. Instead, they use drugs to kill cancer cells, which creates more mitochondrial dysfunction. Time for a break. You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Jan will be back tomorrow, and we'll be back right after this.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio, which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
Enhance vitamin C status with a vitamin C infusion. IV vitamin C enhances the production of hydrogen peroxide in the blood. For vitamin C to be effective, it's necessary to have a high concentration of vitamin C in the blood. So if you're simply fighting off a cold or seeking to support overall immune function, IV vitamin C is the most efficient way to maximize vitamin C blood level benefits. After surgery, after an injury, vitamin C assists in tissue repair. Vitamin C supports collagen. After cosmetic procedures, it supports the integrity of blood vessels. So many ways to stay in great health with intravenous vitamin C treatment. discuss your needs with me, Janet Cimarelli. Call 954-748-4991.
You're listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Janet will be back with us tomorrow. We've been talking about mitochondrial dysfunction because I think that should be the focus for most people, because that's been associated with pretty much any condition that you can think of. Now, we talked about the fact that mitochondria are the parts of the cell that create energy. About 90% of your energy is created in the mitochondria. And the major factors involved in poor mitochondrial function, because that's what we want to prevent, include deficiencies in critical cellular nutrients, toxins from the environment, and lack of exercise. So think about that. So think about the standard American diet, a sedentary lifestyle, and the tremendous amounts of toxins in our environment today. And then you begin to understand why we see so much illness. The most common dietary problems today include blood sugar imbalances. So what do you have to know about that? I just said, if your fasting blood sugar isn't under 70, you have to work on it. Fatty acid imbalances and nutritional deficiencies. When your blood sugar is elevated, you create something that's been called advanced glycolytic enzymes, AGEs, that damage cell function and increase free radical formation. Fatty acid imbalances come from the overconsumption of processed meats and oils, man-made trans fatty acids, and omega-6 fatty acids. Well, an easy way to prevent all this is eat a diet that's natural, that's not processed, and importantly, to avoid toxins, that's organic. So if you want to keep your mitochondria healthy, then you need a diet that stabilizes blood sugar levels, normalizes fatty acid ratios, and provides optimal levels of trace minerals and phytonutrients that act as antioxidants. So sometimes you have to, spell it out for people so they are motivated to make the changes, so they really understand how they're undermining their health by eating improperly. So the changes that should be made is have fresh vegetables, healthy fats such as olive oil, avocados, coconut products, nuts and seeds. And if you're going to have animal products, you want them to be grass-fed and free-range. So that would be the healthiest approach. Now, in order to maintain mitochondrial stability, I think what I've noticed too, that people think taking supplements is a substitute for eating a healthy diet. Really needs to be in addition to a healthy diet. So some of the nutrients specifically that could keep the mitochondria functioning optimally include vitamin D, folic acid, B6, B12, zinc, CoQ10, trace minerals. Now, all those nutrients can be tested for, and that's what you need to do to keep yourself healthy. And we started off today talking about the person that went to the hospital with chest pain. He had a heart attack. It wasn't severe enough to do surgery on him. They just sent him home and said, keep an eye on things. They could have tested his levels of all these things and said, you're deficient, and you need to change your diet to prevent those deficiencies and take appropriate supplementation. Like I said earlier, you want to raise your vitamin D level at least to 60, if not higher. You can do that with some sunlight every day, but in my experience, you're going to need to supplement as well. And don't forget, it's vitamin D3. You want to use raw whole food multivitamins that supply ample amounts of the various B vitamins and CoQ10. And how do you know you're getting ample amounts? You need to be tested again just to make sure where your levels are. Every cell depends on a steady supply of neurological signals to maintain the electrochemical potential. In other words, the cells are, you know, listen, you know, think about this. These cells are working 24/7. They're constantly doing things that require, you know, the proper input of nutrients and activity. And we shouldn't take for granted, you know, that our health is okay until we lose it. Now, it's interesting that exercise can help mitochondrial function. But it does. And here's where chiropractic adjustments come in handy as well. In addition to, you know, exercise, you can correct spinal abnormalities and boost normal proprioceptive inputs into the body. And what that means is proprioception has to do with where your body is in space and having a feel for where your body is. You lose a little bit of that if you close your eyes, so you get an idea of, you know, what I'm talking about. And then the last thing that you have to really be aware of is environmental toxins, because now more than ever, they are responsible for mitochondrial dysfunction. But here's what you have to think about from that. When we talk about toxins, you think, well, that's something in the air or in the water, so I'm going to be careful there. But some of these heavy metals, such as mercury, are found in vaccinations. You're also being exposed to them with pesticides and herbicides if you're not eating organic food. Food preservatives are a problem. Commercial cleaning agents. But another area to become aware of is prescription drugs. One of the prescription drugs, one of the most highly prescribed drug is statins, and they cause mitochondrial dysfunction. So I think, you know, when you have a choice between taking a drug or making the lifestyle and dietary changes to restore your health, it shouldn't take much convincing, except that it's hard to break old habits. But statin drugs create a lot of problems, including mitochondrial dysfunction, and that's why they've been associated with so many issues, including cancer. And I think now things begin to make sense. If you cause mitochondrial dysfunction, and we said that's associated with so many problems, including cancer, that you might want to think twice about taking all these drugs. And in new research, which was published by the British Medical Journal, they found that statin drugs taken over 2 to 5 years to prevent a first heart attack added an average of only 3.2 days to a patient's lifespan and only 4.1 days to those who have already suffered a heart attack. So what's the point? Because it may be increasing your risk. In fact, they said that statin drugs do not extend life and may increase or change what you're going to die from. And again, here the key is mitochondrial dysfunction brought on by statin drugs. Another category, very important, the fluoroquinolones, Cipro and Levaquin, drugs like that also cause mitochondrial dysfunction, which will lead to muscle weakness and breakdown, brain fog, memory loss, dementia, and cancer. I hope a lot of you, you know, get ideas from listening to this program and other programs. And then you go and do your own research and read about it. Mitochondrial dysfunction is a very hot topic these days, and a lot is written about it, and you can find a lot about it on the internet. mainstream medicine, again, doesn't pay attention to it because they don't have a drug for it. They have a drug to treat all the symptoms caused by mitochondrial dysfunction, except they don't call it symptoms. They call it diseases. So if you think about all those drugs you're taking for all those problems, the likelihood is the underlying reason is mitochondrial dysfunction. And if you change and focus on improving mitochondrial dysfunction, the likelihood is you're going to get better from those diseases or symptoms and reduce your need for all those medications. So it's just kind of frustrating for me to see. And what I've been talking about today is written up in the medical literature. It's there for everybody to see. But it goes against prescribing drugs, because the solution to good health and healthy mitochondrial function, as we just said, is your diet primarily, and paying attention to all those toxins we're exposed to. And we've just run out of time. I'd like to thank our listeners. Don't forget, Janet will be here tomorrow. You've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Dr. Herb Slavin. Bye-bye, everybody.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.